This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
From Transport Topics in Washington, D.C., this is Road Signs. And now here's your host, Michael Fries.
Thank you for listening to Road Signs, the podcast series from Transport Topics that explores the trends and technologies that are shaping the future of trucking. Before we dive into today's episode, we'd like to invite you to subscribe to Transport Topics, where you can receive exclusive access to our top 100 lists, quarterly magazines, and other news surrounding the trucking industry. To subscribe, visit ttn.ws/ttsubscribe. You can also text ttsubscribe to 571-622-0001 to become an official member of Transport Topics. That's 571-622-0001. Last episode, we celebrated the truck driver and the work they do delivering goods and services to our nation. However, the trucks can't properly perform if it's not for the fleet technician. So for this episode, we celebrate National Technician Appreciation Week. The Road Signs team was in Cleveland for the American Trucking Association's Technology and Maintenance Council's Fall Meeting and Supertechnician Skills Competition. And we asked the question, what does it take to not only become a successful fleet technician, but be one of the best in the country? In the busyness of the TMC Fall Meeting and Supertech, we were able to catch up with Mark Zakos, president of DG Technologies, where he presided as committee chair for the Future Tech Competition, featuring the best student technicians from across the country. But first, we'll speak with current TMC chairman, Todd Cotter, and learn his perspective and advice on the career of the fleet technician and how he uses his experience to lead the new generation of techs. Here's our conversation.
We are here at the ATA TMC Technology and Maintenance Council Fall Meeting here in Cleveland, Ohio, and I have a very special guest with me, Todd Cotter. He is the chairman of the TMC. Welcome to the show, Todd.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great, great. We just wrapped up TMC Supertech, highlighting the best in the industry when it comes to auto technology. How are you liking the show so far?
Oh, very exciting. Very challenging workstations for the contestants. And I think everything went off without a hitch. No major problems. So.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. Yes, it was. Randy Patterson ran a pretty tight ship. So.
He always does. Yes,
But yeah, I since this is Technician Appreciation Week, I want to, before we get into your role as chairman and everything you've been doing with TMC, I want to ask you, on a personal level, how did you get involved in auto technology, and what inspired you to have the career you have now?
So I have an interesting story. My parents owned a construction company when I was growing up, and my after-school activities were going to work. It wasn't football or baseball. Mm-hmm. And my path was predetermined pretty much by the family business. So after school, I'd go to work from probably age 12 or 13, and ride into work with my older brothers. And I would grease backhoes, check tires on dump trucks, and whatever had to be done to get ready for the job sites for the next day. So I guess I was born into it more than anything.
So from that point, was this something that you like, this is what I'm going to be doing for the most of my adult life and in my career?
Well, I guess I thought I'd be a partner in a construction company is what I thought. But I really enjoyed the challenge of working on equipment and troubleshooting equipment. And I'm going back to the 70s, late 70s. And but that was high tech back then, right, compared to what we have today. So, yeah, I just truly enjoyed it. I invested a lot in tools and just grew with it. So,
what was that particular moment that you thought to yourself that this is what I can do? I like doing this. I'm good at it.
Well, I went to vocational high school for auto mechanics, and again, that it was predetermined really by the family business what I was going to do, and I really enjoyed it, and again enjoyed the challenge of it. And then I moved to Maine. So I grew up in New Jersey, and I moved to Maine when I was 15, and finished high school. And I knew I could turn wrenches. I knew I was a good technician or a good mechanic back then, and I was good at what I did, and I was very thorough at what I did. And I actually landed a job with Hart Transportation at age 17, and I'm currently still employed there. They've been purchased by Bison Transport out of Canada, but I'm still in the same building that I started out in 42 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that's career path, you know, especially in today's landscape, you know, that's, you know, I would say you're a unicorn and that's
and one job.
Yeah, yeah. In that sense, you know. But we fast forward, you know, you're in your TMC, you know, you're now the chairman, and in your speech in Orlando, when you became chairman, and past chairman Randy Obermeyer introduced you. He had told a story about, I believe, a pre-trip inspection, and just kind of how
new equipment inspection. So I spec all our equipment, or I did back then. I still spec some of it today, and so whenever typically you would do a pilot review of a new piece of equipment at the factory. And I decided I would just do the pilot reviews when they arrived to me or at the dealer. Right. So I inspect every brand new piece of equipment that I purchase. And if you're not looking, you don't know what you're getting because everything, no matter what it is, has problems. So attention to detail is my theme, and attention to quality. And I would write pages like 25, 30 items I'd find with every vehicle, something that's wrong with it, whether it's routing and clipping, wrong parts installed, wrong systems installed, no systems installed, wrong size tires. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's endless. It's amazing. And if you're not doing that, I'm sorry, you're overlooking some problems that you have.
You know, and like you said, you know, that is one of the themes that's the top theme that you want to promote as chairman, in that one word, quality, like we spoke back in Orlando in our past interview. What are some of the things specifically, kind of, you know, taking a deep dive into that word quality? Paying attention to detail is very paramount, especially in the career of an auto technician. What are some of the things that you want to instill in the council to really hammer that point home to the technicians and the fleet managers who attend, you know, these events?
So anything you do in life, you should do with the utmost quality. Like, why do something not complete or, like, I can't even use the word I want to use, but half-assed, I guess.
That's okay.
Right? So you know, do the job once. Do it right. Do it once. And because you always seem to have time to do it over again, even if you didn't do it right the first time. So why wouldn't you follow through with quality? And to me, it doesn't matter if you're filling out a repair order, a shopping list, whatever you're doing, you know, speccing a vehicle, you want to have quality involved in everything. And one of the major automotive manufacturers, quality was job one, and you don't hear that anymore. So, like, what happened to quality in our society? It's just vaporized. So
I mean, just having that, you know, that one word, that the whole concept of quality and TMC, you know, as I said, that is the focal point of your tenure as chairman. What are, you know, some of those, I guess, discrepancies when it comes to, you know, having that quality check? You know, where is that disconnect when you do see those particular problems? I mean, I know it sounds easy. It can be explained easy, but it's much harder.
The problems are easy to find, but they're a little tougher to define why they happen. And so about 10 years ago, we purchased 100 trucks, and that's when I started my quality inspections. And so the first, we had 100 trucks purchased. We're getting 10 a month, delivery 10 a month. And the first trucks, I wrote a page and a half on every vehicle for defects. And then the second group, same thing. Third group, same thing. They flew a quality assurance person in from the factory, and he told me that, I agree with what you're finding, and you will not see this on the next batch of trucks. So the next group of trucks came in, and he was right. 90% of the problems were gone. And then I think they probably forgot about me, because the next 10, well, I was right back where I started. So, quality can be there, but because of all that, what I went through and the other procedures I followed through on getting those, me inspecting those vehicles and having others inspect them, I got invited to the plant six times that year to meet with different engineering groups. And it was amazing to learn that the person that was running the ABS wires had a clear frame rail. The person that was running the fuel lines had a clear frame rail. The person that was running wiring, everybody had a clear frame rail. And it was up to the person on the assembly line to make all that fit in 3 minutes or less. So that's where the quality breakdown was that poor guy on the assembly line trying to just shove everything in there so he doesn't get whatever, disciplined for not getting that vehicle done in time. And the manufacturer was amazed that they didn't realize that was happening. So I'm a little fleet out of Bangor, Maine at the time, and we're showing a major manufacturer what their deficiencies are. So it's kind of funny when you think about it. I would think of a huge mega fleet finding these problems, but, you know.
It's, you know, like you said, if you don't see it,
if you don't look,
yeah,
you
know,
you're not gonna see it.
I mean, yeah. So that's, I mean, just, I mean, it sounds like, you know, it's a communication breakdown. I mean, in these places, I mean, is you know, be it a big OEM, you know, or a huge fleet. So, is it just simple as communication? I mean, because does that break away that those discrepancies?
Yeah, those barriers. It breaks down those barriers because, again, the engineers, they had plenty of room to put their stuff in when they drew that all up. It just, they didn't realize that there were six other subsystems that were in their way. So, yeah, it pretty remarkable, really. But the thing that I learned there was the manufacturers actually care. They listened to me. They had me to the plant six times. And they heard what I was saying, and they rectified their problems. So it's not like they're just like trying to blow you off and say, "Oh, gee, what do you know? You know, you're a small fleet out of Bangor, Maine," and they were very intrigued and very, very helpful and reacted to the issue. So
yeah, I mean, it's definitely. I would suspect that, you know, when you're checking for deficiencies and you're going up to, you know, that OEM or that bigger fleet, describing that, I'm pretty sure that they'll be on board to fix those problems. And I wouldn't think there would be. I wouldn't think there would be anything nefarious on both sides. I mean, to think of that, you know. But we're kind of, you know, really getting down to the weeds and to that. Let's kind of go to the 10,000 foot view. You know, this being Technician Appreciation Week. In that search for quality and those frustrations when you get those deficiencies and the technicians who are pretty much at the front lines when it comes to that, you know, fixing parts, preventive maintenance, as such. What are some of the things that on that ground level that, you know, fleet managers can do to communicate better to techs? So, you know, there's not, you know, high turnover, you know, there's some, you know, retention success. What are those things that you see that can be done?
I'm a firm believer in treating people the way you like to be treated. I've been at my position or with that same company for 42 years, and I have 35-year employees that work for me that I've hired. And I truly feel they enjoy working for me because I treat them the way I like to be treated. And to me, it's kind of that simple. But there's a lot more to it. You know, you have to praise your people. You have to train your people, and let them know when they're not doing something right. But do it nicely.
Right.
You know, again, treat people the way you like to be treated, and that's the way I've always lived my life. So.
Okay. You know, because one of the things, especially when it comes to, you know, recruitment and getting new blood in, you know, many groups are, you know, like Ryder, for instance, you know, they have a, you know, a military program where they train outgoing military to become technicians, and other places going to, you know, areas where, you know, most people may not be aware of a career in auto technology or even going to a tech school. You know, what are some of those things? You know, for everybody in this hall, we're in a hall, but everyone in this hall right now wants to be a technician and wants to excel at it. But when we go outside these walls and you're looking for new blood, what are some of those things that maybe you've seen or if you've done it before to encourage an awareness into this profession?
Well, one of the things I point out, I've had the same position for all these years. Mm-hmm. I've never been laid off. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be trucking, mm-hmm. no matter how bad the economy is. Freight is going to move. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's a solid industry to be in. And again, we're always going to be there. It pays well. You know, you could earn a lot of money if you're good, yeah. You know. I know we have apprentice programs. I mean, there's training programs. There's a lot of opportunities. You just have to be motivated.
For such a complex profession that this is. I mean, there's a lot of, like you said, attention to detail and a lot of dedication to the quality to getting the job right. Because if you don't get the job right, you know, someone gets hurt, or even worse. I know it's not that simple, but it comes down to communication. That's what I'm hearing. It comes down to communication before it gets to that wrench or getting on the monitor and diagnosing problem. So I mean, but am I right in that assessment?
Yeah, you are right. But to me, when I try to motivate younger people to get into the industry, is they have to have their math skills, their English skills, mm-hmm. and that's so important. They don't think it is because they think they're just gonna like turn wrenches or yeah. grease trucks or whatever. And we're technicians now. We're not truck mechanics. We're not, you know, we are technicians and mm-hmm. technicians because everything is so technical, as you pointed out. Right. And you're working on a computer. You're diagnosing issues with computers, with lab scopes, with multimeters. It's, you know, it's not for the faint of heart, really. Right. But yeah. you have to have some skills. But math and English skills are ultimately important.
Todd, I'm gonna get you out of here. One last question. I was just talking about, you know, getting people into the industry. What are some of the things that you see in the young technicians today that are out here that are very encouraging to you to know that it's in good hands?
There's a lot of encouraging young technicians out there. I mean, they come in, they actually have a 5-year plan, what their goals are. And it could be they want to work on heavy trucks for 5 years and then they want to go work on customizing pickup trucks, diesel pickup trucks with turbochargers and you know, all the chips and everything. Yeah. that area I don't know anything about. But, yeah, so there's a lot of young people that are driven and they want to learn, but they also have their career path. It's kind of a shame because you get a great technician like that, mm-hmm. but you knew up front that they only plan on staying 5 years. Mm-hmm. And they're going to stick to their plans. I mean, kudos to them. I love what I do, and I'm happy where I am. I'm mm-hmm. ecstatic where I am. But I'm the old school, and I like stability, and I try to do everything I can long term. So,
well, not everybody can be a unicorn, Chairman Cotter. We've been speaking with Todd Cotter. He is the TMC chairman, and we are at the ATA TMC Fall Annual Meeting and TMC Super Tech Competition that just wrapped up. Todd, it was a pleasure having you on.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Michael.
Hello, Roadside listeners. Dan Ronan here from Transport Topics. I'm here to tell you about our new extended cuts of the Road Signs podcast. If you like what you learn here, I think you're going to really love this. So what is the Road Signs extended cut? Well, instead of ending the recording and saying our guest farewells, we're keeping our expert guests around for an extra one or two questions to gather a deeper, fuller picture of the influential topics in transportation. We capture that insight and convert it into a printable download that will help you navigate the latest trucking trends and guide your next business decision. Considering the easy, linkable, and printable format, you can keep the extended cut for your next big meeting, send it to your friends and colleagues, or pack it up for your next big conference. So how do you get the latest download? Well, it's real simple. Visit ttn.ws/extended cut. That's ttn.ws/extended cut.
Hey, Road Signs listeners. It's your man, Mike Freeze, here to tell you that the call-in lines are open. What does that mean, you may ask? Isn't this a podcast, not a radio show? You're correct, but we found a new way that you can call in and leave myself or my co-host, Seth Clevenger, a message. Leave us a message on new topics you'd like to hear more about or ask questions you may have about the trucking industry. Give us a ring at ttn.ws/speakpipe. We are here at the ATA Technology and Maintenance Council Fall Meeting, and
TMC Super Tech Competition here in Cleveland, Ohio, and I have a very special guest. Once again on the podcast, we have Mark Zakos. He is the president of DG Technologies. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Hey, Michael. Good to see you again. I remember talking to you, and great to have a chance to talk again here. We were here a year ago, weren't we?
Yes.
And we had a lot of great, interesting things to chat about in the cybersecurity zone. So I'm happy to give you a quick update what we're all about.
Sure thing. We'll get to that. But you also have another role. I mean, you've been very heavily involved with the Cyber Tech Task Force. But you also have another duty as a committee chair for the Future Tech Competition, which is the student competition, a part of TMC Super Tech. Can you tell us more about that?
Oh, yeah. So this is really, I would say, fun. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the takeaway is that everybody works hard. The students work hard. The competitors all study and try to be prepared. Mm-hmm. And we as a running the cybersecurity station, mm-hmm. you know, I organized that and got all the equipment, and I reached out to other people who wanted to donate or volunteer their time to organize the equipment in the station. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of hard work and bringing it all together and make sure that it all goes as planned during that short time window when the students come through. And then, you get gratification out of that. But I tell you what, watching those students perform, you know, some of them are really quick. So it's really great. I look at the questions and the challenge and the hands-on part of that station that we give them, and I'm wondering, man, I got to make it harder next year. they're really taking away. You're not supposed to talk to them, you know, during the session, and mm-hmm. Got to leave them, to their own work items. But afterwards, you get a chance to see some folks and how did it go, and the takeaways there. So there were a couple people said, they didn't know my name, you know, Mr. Zakos is what they referred to me as. But they said, wow, you really touched something here. You really sparked my interest. I think I'm going to go into this cybersecurity area, or at least I'm going to be able to learn more about it, because it's such an important in our world, not only as a maintainer, as a future technician, mm-hmm. but all the things we do in our lives, that we have to be really cyber secure. So, you know, I felt so blessed, so happy mm-hmm. to have people say that to me afterwards. It's like, you mean you didn't want to come out and punch me in the nose? It's like, no, we learned something as we went through.
What were some of the takeaways that you got from the students? You were saying that you had some conversations with them. I mean, what are some of the more specific things that stood out to you?
Well, as younger generation, they have their phones and computers and they're online all the time. Mm-hmm. So in one of the takeaways is that I had two parts to we call it a test or an assessment. One was a written part where you have to have strong passwords and, all the common things that we should all know. And, they whiz through all that stuff, right? So getting them brought up to speed is not necessary. Everybody knows. Everybody's heard of that. So in that space, that was really gratifying in a sense that they did finish really, really early, the written part, with those basic knowledge questionnaires.
Now, the written part, could you explain what was in those exams, the type of questions?
Yeah, there were type of questions if you get a phishing email and how to verify that, like your boss said, okay, go out and work on this vehicle and give me download an update to your diagnostic tool from the web. Well, make sure that you have that security checkbox on the computer. There's something called a secure website. Make sure you're connected correctly. And so I put it in basic internet hygiene. Okay. And of course, these folks probably, you know, they're doing that all the time. They're gamers, whatever they do, they're connected, and they probably live their life pretty safely online. So those questions, I think I need to really beef up next year. I'm not trying to make the questions harder, to be honest with you. I'm just using that as a guide for them to learn from. Those are the basic things. And make sure you understand, you know, yeah, you get it, or, oh, I didn't know that sort of thing. So another takeaway I'd like to share is that I got some feedback saying, oh, I learned some things. So that's really cool, because that, again, that was my intention, is to not just stress you out and, you know, make you, you know, grade A, B, C, D. It's like, you're coming here, you're part of our industry future, and I want you to feel good about what you're doing in your career. And your career many times will touch the internet, touch computers, touch mobile devices, and the electronics in the trucks, same thing. They're all computers on wheels, and you're more comfortable than most people are with that. You know, the senior, the seasoned technicians, some just are, you know, very good at brakes and engines and you know, mechanical stuff, which is, you know, great, because we, you know, we need that type of personnel as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's always this electronics that somehow gets into the picture, sensors or actuators, and learning about that as well as how to keep those secure.
You know, one of the things, especially, you know, you've been in the era where, you know, the technicians were referred to as mechanics, but now with the evolution of so much technology that's incorporated in you know, fleet maintenance of a truck, is it encouraging to see in the student competition that, you know, these kids have more knowledge of technology when they go into this vocation? I mean, was that pretty encouraging? I mean, you had mentioned that, you know, you were, you know, surprised at how swiftly they completed the written exams and just the overall knowledge. Was that also encouraging to see?
That is encouraging to see. Let me morph that into a further observation, because it's great to see not only the students coming in, the young people, future techs coming in into that. Station, we call them stations, where they're taking the assessment. But if you kind of look outside of the station in the seating area around, who are those people? Some of them have family members. Many of them have instructors from vocational schools. I've met probably four or five different, more than that, instructors who are just, they're observing, and they're there to, you know, give encouragement, you know, mental waves of encouragement. They can't tell them the answers, right? But so after the assessment's over, they moved on, and I got a chance to talk to those instructors.
Okay, what was that conversation? What was those conversations
and
like?
And many of them are, I would say all of them are cognizant of this cybersecurity space and electronic space and the future space of you know, the students, these people having the more skills in the electronic internet area. But here's something that maybe the listeners can think about, is that our vocational schools need resources, right? So what we need to do is create, as an industry, and content, something that they can support them. It doesn't need, well, money, I'm sure, is always good, but we need to give them more and more of this new stuff, this new generation stuff. So those instructors and I were talking about, hey, how about a cybersecurity test station? Because part of what we did in the future tech is written, and another part is hands-on. So I created something called a truck in a box.
Oh, truck in the box, okay.
A truck in a box, and had an engine ECU and a simulator in there, and, you know, all the electronic componentry just for the basic cybersecurity work items for the assessment. But I could grow that, and just about everybody all the instructors were like, wow, how do we do that, or how can we build our own? And I'd be glad to help them, you know. So that's having that equipment that the students can actually build into a curriculum, along with all the other great things that they're learning, is super important, I believe.
So, I mean, the having those students in to get this fresh take of what the industry is going to be like, especially in competition, since we're here at the TMC Super Tech. But as we mentioned in the beginning, you do chair the cybersecurity task force, and we had plenty of conversations, since then about that particular subject. And one of the things that really intrigued me and our listeners is that the rallying call that you had with cybersecurity and just sort of fleets not knowing what they know. Fast forward 1 year later, how are things going in that regard?
They're going. Again, I think everyone's aware. So, the messaging that I'm giving is something I don't think we need to give that same message, is that, hey, you can be hacked or you can get ransomed or you got fished. Don't worry. I think that's clear. It may not be universal, but I'd say, here at TMC, it should be clear. I haven't met anyone who hasn't got that messaging from a year or more, couple years of messaging. What we're really, I think, still need to enhance is the coming together as a community of fleets to help understand, hey, what did you do? What did you do? How can we do better? And beyond that, this is even more important, is that, hey, when you get hit, here's my cell phone number. Call me on the weekend. I might work, for an OEM. I might be an advisor. I might be maybe a competitor, but we're all in this together. And that's one, great thing about TMC, is I see people, every year, every meeting, and we become friends, colleagues, even if there's some competition behind us, we don't let that interfere with what we need to get done. It's we're trying to do something for the industry, and cybersecurity is the same way. So if I can create that community and grow this community of experts, let me call so-and-so at that organization. Like now the TSA guys are here from Washington. We had four guys from TSA in the cybersecurity task force meeting here today. Everybody's got their business card, and they're here to help. They're from the government. They're here to help. But no, seriously, they are. And that way, this community continues to grow. We know each other. We trust each other. This is the basis of how we get better.
Well, it's definitely a great conversation when we're talking about this particular subject. We've been speaking with Mark Zakos, the president of DG Technologies. It's been a pleasure having you on again, and thanks for so much information.
Thank you.
Did you know you can ask Alexa to open Transport Topics? In just 1 minute, you will hear the biggest trucking headlines of that day. Be prepared and start your morning off right with Transport Topics.
Before we close, let's take a moment to revisit our original question. What does it take to not only become a successful fleet technician, but one of the best in the country? As Chairman Todd Cotter put it, the career of the auto technician is not for the faint of heart. Like with truck driving, there's a certain kind of dedication and discipline involved in pursuing this path. For Cotter, it's a life that has been embedded in his family upbringing. For others, it's become a career choice that has proven to be a passion more than a job. Every year, that passion is on display at the SuperTech Skills Competition, which crowned Doug Nichols from FedEx Freight as its 2023 Grand Champion. This year, the competition added a few wrinkles in the form of electric vehicle safety and a deeper dive into cybersecurity. Mark Zakos, a task force leader in cybersecurity, explained that the subject is well within the radar of the future tech student competitors. For those students, the specter of technology is not as intimidating as with past generations, and provides more of an opportunity to make a greater impact to fleet maintenance. So the next time when you think a trucker, let's not forget to thank the tech that provides the crucial support. If you enjoyed this episode of Road Signs, please let others know. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to reach out to the Road Signs team on X at TT Road Signs or reach me at Michael V. Freeze. You can email us at share@ttnews.com. We'll read them and respond daily. Also, let us know how we're doing by texting TT Survey to 571-622-0001. And of course, we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of Road Signs. Until then, I'm Michael Freeze. Thank you for listening.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.